And so they had communion and they washed the disciples' feet, right? In that that Thursday evening before he was crucified. Jesus was just hours away from being crucified. And the Bible says, and when they had sung a hymn, they went out into the Mount of Olives. They sung a hymn. Of liberty. They had a hymn. Here's the hymn we would have sung in church. Love lifted me, love lifted me. When nothing else could help, love lifted me, love lifted me, love lifted me. When nothing else could help, love lifted me. Easy song. It's a hymn. They sang a hymn. And you know what lifted Jesus up on that cross? Love. That's what lifted Jesus up, was love. Jesus taught his disciples how to worship by example. Remember, the word disciples means being a student, a learner, someone who is completely submitted to the authority of his master, of his teacher. And the student's job was to replicate everything that he saw the teacher do. That was Jesus. Jesus gave the example. The disciples followed the example. They replicated it. And in this way, the disciples replicated the way in which Jesus worshiped. When the church began in Acts chapter 2, the followers of Jesus continued to establish this pattern. Not only did they preach like Jesus, not only did they heal like Jesus, not only did they cast out demons like Jesus, not only did they flow in the power of the Spirit like Jesus, they also worshiped like Jesus did. They followed his example. They were a singing, praising, worshiping church from their inception. And it said there in Acts 2:46, they continued daily in the temple, doing all those things and praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. That's what happens when people get together to worship. Number three, what it means to worship. What does that exactly mean? We talked about that it's an intimate thing. It's from your heart. But the word worship means to adore, to fall on your knees. Sometimes people will do that here. You might look and somebody might come down to the steps here, the altar area, and bow. Or at your seat, feel free to do that, to get on your knees and worship God. It means literally to blow kisses. Wow. When you blow somebody a kiss, what are you telling them? Love ya. My grandma Waite used to always do this. We used to do this thing with my grandma Waite and Dixon. If as long as we could see her, we'd keep waving. Did you ever do that when you were little? You keep waving until you saw them. And she'd be throwing us kisses and waving. Why? Because she's our grandma. She loved us. That's what worship is. To get on your knees, to adore, to magnify, to throw kisses. It's a depiction of intimate adoration. It literally means to fall on knees as an expression of reverence, to prostrate yourself. What does that mean? Fall on your face. You're on your face. You're not just kneeling now. Now you're on your face before God, in front of God, to worship him, to make supplication. It requires entering into his presence. Think about your times of worship here, whether at home, in the car. Now, when you worship God in the car, hands on the wheels, eyes open. Okay? Sometimes people are like, eyes are closed, worship God. I preach their funerals. Okay? Don't do that. Keep your eyes open and hands on the wheel, worshiping God with your mouth and from your heart, but eyes on the road. Hello? There's a good natural side of things. But while you're at home, man, worship God. You got the radio on, you got a CD on, you got MP3 player playing or something online, what have you. I got a lot through my Bluetooth on my phone and just worshiping God. When you come together at church, man, what a wonderful place. Nobody's going to be looking at you funny. Why? Because we're here together. We're a church, and a church is to worship God. Worship should be a time of intimacy between you and your Father. That's special. That's cherished. Well, I didn't grow up with that. Well, guess what? It's time for you to grow up in worship. It's time to lift your hands. Well, I don't lift my hands. Time to start. Where do we get that? Bible says to lift up holy hands unto God without wrath or doubting. You know what? If The president walked in, whether you like him or not. If the president walks in into this place, whether it was George W. Bush or Bill Clinton or Barack Obama or Donald Trump, you know what I would do? I would stand and applaud. Why? Because it's the president of the United States. That is our leader. And whether you agree with them politically, and several of them I just mentioned there I didn't agree with politically, several of them I did, I do to a degree, not 100%, but I do to a degree. If the president walked in the room, you would stand up and you would apply hands. Why? Because that's the president. You respect the office. But I would not lift my hands. I would not worship or adore. No, you say that for God. I lift my hands to God. I lift my heart to God. I sing from my heart to him. To tell him I love him, to thank him for saving me from a devil's hell, for healing my body, for helping me through situations in life, for bringing me my wife, for giving me healthy children, for all the good things I have in life. It's from him. And he deserves our glory. He deserves our honor and praise. Well, what does that do? Number four, God inhabits your praise. When you praise him, he shows up. When you praise God, he shows up. In Psalm 22:3, God gives us an amazing promise. But here's what the Bible says, that we are to say, but thou art holy. God, you are holy. O thou that inhabitest the praises of Israel. You inhabit the praises of your people. When we praise, when we worship God, when we lift our hearts, our hands, our voices, God shows up. We're not just singing songs, church. We're not just having a little song service. We're praising our God. And the word inhabits means to sit enthroned like a king on a throne. He's sitting on his throne with his crown and his scepter. He's the ultimate authority. He's the king. And that's what God does. He inhabits. He sits on the throne of our praise. It literally describes the presence of God sitting on top of a congregation. That when our hearts and our voices are raised in praise, God shows up and he sits on top of the congregation. He sits on top of the place we are gathered. He shows up. One translation of this verse says, you sit enthroned on the praises of Israel, which today would be the church. When a church or a person enters into a time of worship, that worship creates an atmosphere. That's why it's important for us all to participate and not just be standing there. Well, we're all standing up. I don't know this song. Well, just start singing. You read the words and just go for it. You'll learn it. We'll sing songs different weeks and you'll learn it over time. If you don't know a song, YouTube it, Spotify it, Apple iTunes it, whatever you use. Learn it. Listen to it during the week while you're driving. When you go to sleep at night, have it playing in the background. Low, help you go to sleep. When we give a wonderful welcome to God in his presence, he shows up. His supernatural presence is, it's as if it's magnetically drawn to where his kids are. That's the church. And he literally sits on top of the praise and worship of a congregation or an individual. And when he does, he brings the glory with him. Number four, experiencing God's glory. Oop, is that number five? Five. Is it five? Thank you. Experiencing God's glory. When the glory of God comes into a congregation or to an individual, you're praising God, it's amazing. Why? With God's glory comes, listen to this. I'd write this in my notes, where it says notes, write this. With God's glory comes everything good that one could ever need in life. With God's glory comes everything good that one could ever need in life. As I said, when we sing before I preach, I know the first song, that's almost like a call to worship. It's getting people in and getting us up and getting us, our hearts going in that direction that we have announcements. Then we praise and worship God. It's not just singing songs. It's a time of praise and worship to God. And when a congregation enters into a time of praise and worship to God, the glory of God shows up. The atmosphere will become heavy with everything we need. And the glory of God then begins to discern or judge exactly what is needed by each person present. If your heart is open, if you're just standing there like a bump, when's this going to be over? We sing 3 songs a day. We usually just sing 2. I'm glad you can count. Very good. But if that's how you are, man, nothing's going to be happening in your life, darling. Need to get with the program. It's time to open our hearts, lift our hearts, lift our praise to God. And when you do, He'll show up for you. I don't guarantee it, He does. He inhabits the praises of His people. He doesn't inhabit the yawnings or the indifference of His people. You know what Cubs are playing right now? You know that NBA championship thing going on, and the Stanley Cup too. That's 1-1. You know Toronto beat Golden State? I thought they were going to sweep them. Yeah, so did I. Shazam. Hope Toronto sweeps. Oh, I better be quiet. Okay. But God will judge what is exactly needed by each person. God's glory determines who needs wisdom, who needs direction, who needs healing, what practical provisions are needed. I got a bill to pay. Guess what? If I got a bill that's coming up and it's going to be late, but I don't have the money for it, guess what I'm doing? I'm praising God. And I'm also giving something in the offering too. I'm sowing some seed. If you got a need, sow some seed. Pray for our farmers, folks. They need to get in the fields like yesterday, like last month. Because they don't get in the fields, they're not going to have a crop. And I've been told that they will not be able to file crop insurance if there isn't any crop in the field. If you didn't plant anything, how can you file a claim because there's no crop? We need to pray they get a crop in the field so they can get a harvest and they can, because we have a lot of farmers in our area, don't we? Can I get an amen? So pray for our farmers. Then supernaturally, people will begin to receive, you'll begin to receive the splendor of what they need from God out of the overwhelming, heavy weight of His glory. God shows up when you praise Him. Number 6, unity is the point of glory. Unity. There must be unity in a body. If somebody's sitting out there with the brakes on, they're sitting out there, when's it going to get over with? When they got the brakes on. They got the brakes on. I can tell when somebody's got the brakes on. They're sitting out there. I'm not going to look at you. Their arms are folded. They're just sitting there. They're just mad. They're mad at something. Mad at their spouse. Mad at their kids. Mad at me. I don't know. One of the best examples in Scripture of the glory of God coming upon people is found in Psalm 133. Within these 3 verses, 1-3, God's glorious presence is depicted as the anointed. We talked about this last week. The anointed that rested upon Aaron, Moses' brother. He was the high priest. And the dew, D-E-W, remember? It wasn't Mountain Dew, though that is cool and refreshing. It wasn't Mountain Dew. Way too much, you know. But it's the dew that descends on Mount Hermon. Look here, it says, behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren, keep it on here please, for brethren to dwell together in what? Unity. How good and how pleasant. This is the God. It is good, it is pleasant when people gather, dwell together, brethren, that's sistren too, that's brothers and sisters in Christ, we dwell together in unity. Verse 2. It is like the precious ointment upon the head that ran down upon the beard, even Aaron's beard, the high priest, Moses' brother, that went down to the skirts of his garment. The oil poured on his head, down his beard, all the way down to the bottom of his garments. Verse 3. As the dew of Hermon, Mount Hermon, and as the dew that descended upon the mountains of Zion, for there the Lord commanded the blessing, even life forevermore. God commanded blessing, life evermore, everlasting life, looking forward to us here in the New Testament at that moment. You see, when we worship as a congregation or outside these four walls, as an individual, as a couple, as a family, we come into a place of marvelous unity with each other and the Spirit of God. His Spirit then comes, and His glory comes with Him. God's Spirit comes, and the glory of God, like the dew of Hermon, comes. And it saturates you spiritually. It refreshes you spiritually. The exact moment when God's glory arrives and begins discerning and meeting the needs of each individual. How does He know that? He's God. He's omniscient. He knows everything. That is revealed here in this passage. It is in the moment of unity, when people in unity, one heart, one mind lifted, praising God, that the Lord bestows His blessings. The passage also describes the moment of God's glory dispensing His blessings, as I said, as the dew of Hermon. It saturates, it envelops, it engulfs. Well, what does dew have to do with God's glory? Dew, first of all, is the moisture that's in the air. It's always present, but it is never seen unless the atmospheric conditions are just right. If the criteria is met and the air cools enough to reach the dew point, suddenly the moisture that is in the air that was once invisible becomes visible. Because where is it now? It's all over the ground. You get up in the morning and you walk through the lawn to get the paper instead of going down the driveway. And you come back and you go, oh my gosh, your shoes, the cuffs of your pants are drenched with what? Dew. It covers everything. It begins to appear as droplets of water. And eventually everything is covered in dew. David said, the king, that when we worship God and get into a place of unity in a church, suddenly we meet the criteria necessary to release the divine dew of heaven. The atmosphere changes. The anointing or glory of God that is in the air that we cannot see suddenly begins to show up everywhere. It's on you. It's there to bless you, to help you, to heal you, to speak to you, to give you wisdom, to meet your needs. The entire church begins to experience a corporate anointing. That's why it's important to be at church. We don't just show up to hear something. Saw somebody write that in Facebook. A pastor wrote this a few weeks ago. You know, you put the work, the things, you take it outside the church. That's where you learn stuff. In church, you just hear stuff. And I was like, oh, God, I wanted to go off on this person, but I didn't. No. This is where you get together as a body. That's why you need fellowship. And there, the corporate anointing is here. And everywhere you look, people are being touched by the presence of God in church. Again, this is the result of meeting the criteria of unity in worship. Now, New Testament believers, as New Testament believers, we're to express our adoration to God anytime, anywhere, in any situation. But let me address something right now, the negative side of that coin. Let's flip the coin over. Whenever there is disunity in a body, murmuring in the church, it can spread like a cancer. There was disunity in the Bible, even amongst Jesus' disciples. In Mark's gospel, in Mark 9, 33 and 34, it says, and they, Jesus and his disciples, the whole entourage, came to Capernaum. And when he, Jesus, get this, was in the house, he knew the thoughts and intents of their heart. When he, Jesus, was in the house, he asked them, what were you discussing on the way? You know, Jesus is probably out front, or maybe he's in the back, and they're out front. I don't know how they did it. But evidently, they weren't right beside Jesus, but he could see him talking amongst themselves. He asked them, what were you discussing on the way? As we were coming here, what were you talking about? But they, the disciples, but they kept silent, For on their way, they had argued with one another about who was the greatest. Who's going to sit at the right hand of God? Here's what I think. Who should be in charge? Here's how I think Jesus. Here's how I think he should be doing it. Ouch. Here's the thing, folks. In a church, when you hear murmuring against one another, when you hear murmuring against the church, when you hear murmuring against your pastor, call it out. Deal with it. Don't ignore it. Over the years, people have come to me and said, man, so-and-so was saying such and such. And I said, what did you say? And here's what I hear. Drives me up the wall. I was just so shocked they were saying those things. I didn't know what to say. Here, let me tell you what to say. Hey, stop it. Love you. God bless you. Grow up. Something to that effect. But smile. Do a John Candy laugh. Don't know who he is. Google it. Okay? Deal with it. Look at in Acts chapter 16, Paul and Silas, they had been arrested while ministering the city of Philippi. And after being beaten and placed in stocks in the prison, these two men began worshiping God. And it says, and at midnight, what are you doing at midnight most of the time? You're not working 11 to 7, you're sleeping. That's what you should be doing at midnight. If you're not working, you should be asleep. And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God. And the prisoners heard them. At midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the other prisoners heard them. Interestingly, when it says they sang praises, these were not memorized hymns. These weren't love lifted me like I sang earlier. It wasn't that. In this case, if you study it out in the Greek, it indicates in the Greek language, which the New Testament was written in, it indicates they were singing songs from their heart. Just from their heart they were singing to God and praising him. Their own lyrics from their heart. They were worshiping God. The prisoners were listening, the other prisoners. I ain't never heard that song before. I haven't got that record. Now get this, Roman prison cells were deep and isolated. So for the prisoners to be able to hear Paul and Silas singing, it infers they must have been singing loudly. They weren't just in their prison saying, oh Lord Jesus, we praise your name. We pray. No, they were singing. Loud, proud. Everybody was hearing them. The other prisoners heard them. Why? Because these men needed a miracle. They were chained together in this Roman prison. Their very life was in peril. And they need the presence of the Holy Spirit to show up in all his glory. And they knew that if they worshiped God, he would come and manifest his glory. And that's exactly what he did. He showed up and he shook the prison to its foundation. And the manacles, the handcuffs per se, fell from their hands. And the prison door, not only did the chains fall off them, the prison doors swung open. Holy Spirit's a lockpick. Okay? Now, what if Paul and Silas had not worshiped God? What if they had just sat there saying, it's just pitiful. This is just pitiful what we're going through. Here we are, men of God, and we're in this jail. You don't even have clean straw to sleep on. All we did was obey God and telling others about Jesus. And look what it got us. Beaten up and thrown into jail. Oh, woe is me. Pity, pity, pity party. If they wouldn't have praised and worshiped God, their deliverance would likely not have come. Paul and Silas knew they needed to bring the presence of God into their situation. Friend, whatever it is you're facing in life, if there is a need that needs met, if there's a healing that you desire, if there's a situation that needs change, if there's a loved one that needs Christ, there are things that you can do, but there's one thing you can do, and that's praise and worship God and bring God into your situation here and now, like right now. And that's what Paul and Silas needed. They needed his presence pronto. Not tomorrow, not the next day. So they began worshiping, creating songs with words that emanated straight from their hearts. And they were worshiping so loudly the other prisoners could hear them. And the glory of God manifested, which was loaded with everything that they needed, like I said earlier. Everything they needed. And out of that glory came an earthquake that shook the prison, and Paul and Silas were set free. Woo! I love that song. Or that story. I like the song too. Pastor Harley Stauffer used to use it on his Friend of the Night program in WSDR. Give me a song to sing at midnight when troubles all around are closing in. And it talks about Paul and Silas singing to God and how God delivered them. Throughout the New Testament, believers are encouraged to sing praise to and to worship God using both their mind and their spirit. Praise God. For example, in 1 Corinthians 14:15, the Apostle Paul says, I will pray with the spirit, that's in the Holy Ghost, and I will pray with the understanding, that's out of your mind. That's if you're filled with the Holy Spirit, you can pray in the Holy Spirit. And I will pray with the understanding. That is your own tongue, English, which is what my language is. I will sing with the Spirit. That means you sing in the Holy Spirit. And I will sing with the understanding also. I sing in English. You can do both. You can pray in the Holy Spirit. You can pray with your understanding, the language of your mind. I will sing in the Spirit. I will sing with the understanding also. God wants us to use our brain to sing as we understand. He also wants us to sing straight out of our heart, to sing in the Spirit. Praise God. Both types of worship have great intrinsic value. Then in Colossians 3:16, we're given a third word of instruction to the previous two. It says this, Paul wrote, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in what? In all wisdom. Teaching and admonishing one another in psalms. Psalms is a songbook. It's God's songbook. And hymns, love lifted me, and spiritual songs, that's singing in the Holy Ghost. Singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Singing to God. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, and let it teach you and admonish you. And teach and admonish one another through worship. That is through psalms, hymns, spiritual songs. We are to teach something specific. You see, music isn't just to express feelings. Oh, Lord God, I feel. Sometimes Christian music is just kind of, I call it bubble gum. No intrinsic value to bubble gum. Only if you're playing softball. That's why I chew bubble gum. But you're not going to get any nourishment from it. Spiritual bubblegum music, that doesn't do it. It's all about feelings. No, singing to God should teach you something about Him, about His faithfulness, about His love, about His mercy, His grace in your life. Remember, Jesus was and still is a worshiper. He worshiped the Father while He was here on earth, and He still worships the Father in heaven. In Hebrews 2:12, we're just about done, He said, I will declare thy name unto my brethren in the midst of the church will I sing praise unto thee. I will declare thy name, the name of Jesus, unto my brethren. In the midst of the church will I sing praise unto God, unto the Lord. In other words, when we sing and worship God, Jesus joins in and worships along with us. So if you want to experience Jesus' presence moving powerfully in your own personal life, if you want to experience Jesus' presence moving powerfully amongst us here in the church, begin to worship our Father with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Sing praise with your mind. God gave it to you. That'll help renew your mind too. And then sing praise from your heart in the Spirit. Compose songs of worship on the spot with words straight from your heart. I can't write music. No, just from your heart, express that. Oh God, I love you, Lord. I love you, Lord God. Blessing and honor and glory be thine. That's not a song, but what did I just do? I just praised God from my heart. You know? Now, if you have a song you want to sing, you can do that too. But you can just sing and praise God from your heart. Remember this. Every time you sing, Jesus joins in. And he sings right with you in the midst of the church as we worship God. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you tonight that we can lift our hearts in praise to you. The Father God, that as we continue to praise you, our minds are renewed to your truth as we sing it, as we speak it, as we believe it. Father God, we will start to think like you think as we think upon your word. Father God, our spirits are saved before you, Lord. We're new creations in Christ. Old things are passed away, all things become new. Our minds are renewed. And Father God, in Jesus' name, I thank you, then our flesh gets pulled along. And we do not follow after the fleshly acts. We do not walk in disunity. We walk in unity together as we lift up our hearts, our praise to God in Jesus' name. Amen. With head bowed and eyes closed, I'd like to ask if there's anybody here tonight. If you're here and you've never received Jesus Christ as your Savior and Lord and you'd like to do so, I want to pray with you right now. You might be here and you say, Pastor Scott, what does that mean? Well, Romans 10 verse 9 says that if you believe in your heart, God raised Jesus from the dead. If that's you and you're here and you say, well, I believe that. I believe Jesus died on the cross for my sins. I believe he rose from the grave. Well, he's alive today. If you believe that, you're halfway home. Then the second part, it says you need to confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord. Now, when you do that, something happens. Miraculous. It says that the presence of God will come to live on the inside of you, and you'll be changed. You'll be forgiven of your sin. You'll be changed on the inside. And old things pass away. All things become new. You become a Christian. You become a new creation in Christ. And your ticket to heaven is punched when you believe in Jesus. So if you want to pray with me and make that confession of your faith, we're going to do that right now. Or you might be here and you say, Pastor Scott, there was a time in my life when I did receive Jesus. For whatever reason, you walked away from that. You just haven't been serving God. You want to recommit, rededicate your life to the Lord. If that's you, you pray with us right now too. God will forgive you. He loves you. He's not mad at you. He's waiting for you to come home. He's your daddy. He loves you. I invite the family here to Abiding Word. Do you agree with us in prayer? Let's all pray out loud together, all of us, right now, right out loud. Say, Dear God in heaven, I thank you for Jesus. I believe Jesus Christ died on the cross for my sin. I believe he rose from the grave, and he's alive today. Lord Jesus, come into my heart. Forgive me of my sin. I want to live for you who died for me. And from this day forward, regardless of what comes, I'm going to serve Jesus Christ all the days of my life. I love you, Lord. Thank you for loving me. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.